spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then, as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise again.'" And they remembered his words. So I have a question for you this Easter Sunday morning, if we gathered together to worship in this place. Who are you looking for this morning? This morning is one of those times when so many people around this city and across this nation and around the world have gotten up and decided, "Today I need to be in a worship service for Easter." For some folks, it's because that's where you are every Sunday. For some folks, it is, "I get a chance to gather with my family and we're going to spend a wonderful Easter together and we're going to begin with worship." For some folks, it's just a feeling inside. You know, I'm not sure why, but I feel like I ought to be in church somewhere this morning. And people have gathered to sing songs and pray prayers and remember the one who gave his life on Calvary. And I'm glad you're here to worship, but the question I want to ask you this morning is simply this: who have you come to worship? What are you looking for? What are you expecting this year from Easter? The women who went to the tomb had no doubt about what they would find when they arrived there. They were the ones who had stayed at the foot of the cross throughout the entire ordeal. They witnessed everything that Jesus had endured that day. They'd heard his cries. They saw the nails in his hands and feet. They were present as the Holy Son of God took the sins of the world upon his shoulders. They heard him declare, "It is finished," and watched him die. When Joseph of Arimathea asked for his body and laid it in a tomb, they followed to see where Jesus had been laid to rest. They knew there wasn't enough time that day to prepare his body properly. So they wanted to know where they could come back to after the Sabbath had come and gone. They went home, they prepared the spices, the preparation that would make his body all that it ought to be. And then early in the morning, they made their way to the tomb. They wanted to give Jesus one last tribute of devotion and love. And so they slowly and sadly made their way back to the garden to care for the body of Jesus. But they knew what they were looking for. Make no mistake, they didn't go to the tomb expecting to be witnesses to a miracle. They didn't come with an anticipation that this is the third day. This is the day he said he would rise again. They weren't thinking about the promises from Scripture or the assurances Jesus had given them. They came with broken hearts to minister to the body of a dead man. Their Lord, no doubt. Their teacher, like no other. The greatest man they had ever known, without exception. But all they expected to discover that morning was a body that needed to be prepared for burial. You may be like them this morning. You really haven't come to expect an encounter with the living Lord. You just thought you would go to church today. You didn't realize that God had something planned for you, but it may just be that before you leave this place today, you're going to discover you have been summoned to this place for a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that if that is so, you will hear him as he speaks to you in the depths of who you are. The last thing those ladies were prepared for was what they encountered when they arrived at the tomb. The stone that had sealed the tomb had been rolled away. When they entered the grave, there was no body to be found. When they emerged, there were two angels shining like the sun. They had no idea something like this was going to take place. Everything that happened was a total surprise to them. They had walked to the tomb wondering, how in the world are we going to get that stone moved out of the way? It's been rolled into the place. It's far too large for us to be able to do anything about. Who are we going to find? How are they going to help us? What's going to give us access to the body of the Savior? And when they found that the stone was rolled away, then they went into the tomb, their arms loaded with the preparations for a dead body. But nothing was there. They weren't sure what to do. What had happened to the body of Jesus in that intervening time between the time when he died and now the beginning of a third day? They walked outside trying to figure out, what should we do next? And there they encountered two angels shining like the sun. And the angels were there to ask them that compelling question. Why do you seek the living among the dead? They might as well have said, why are you searching in a graveyard for somebody who's alive? Why in the world would you find yourself in the midst of tombstones looking for a living soul? Why in the world are you seeking the living among the dead? And then they continued on and they said, he is not here. He hasn't been here since the third day began. He is risen. He has defeated death, hell, and the grave, and he's opened the doors to everlasting life. The Lord is alive. Jesus Christ is the risen and living Savior. Everything he promised has taken place. Everything that the Scriptures prophesied has been fulfilled. Everything that history had led to has taken place when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And that brings me back to the original question I asked a few moments ago. Who are you looking for this morning? When you got up and got dressed and came to worship, who are you expecting to encounter? Beautiful music, no doubt. Wonderful friends, without a doubt. Family that's so glad to see you. No doubt about that. But who are you looking for? Most people would think the answer is easy. They would probably say something like this: I am looking for Jesus. But who is the Jesus you're looking for? You see, I believe that people have come to church here and around this city and across this land and around the world, and they're looking for Jesus, but they're looking for one of two versions of the Savior. Some people choose to look for an unresurrected Christ. They're still looking for Jesus among the dead. They believe he was a holy man. They accept his teachings are true. They admire his conviction and his courage. They are stirred by his crucifixion. But in spite of it all, there are those who have come to church and they believe Jesus remained in the grave. The cross was the end of his story. Death claimed Jesus just like he claims everybody else. So they might say something like this: I have come in the name of Jesus. I've come to honor Jesus. I want to recognize Jesus. I believe Jesus was the greatest man who ever lived. I believe Jesus was the most magnificent teacher the world has ever seen. I believe Jesus set the example for what all of us should seek to be. But in the end, Jesus was just a man. And when his time came, he died. And he died just the way the rest of us have or will die. And that's the end of the story. They can only accept that his death was a martyr's death, but a death nonetheless. Jesus, humanity's best example, but no more. But the Apostle Paul reminds us of the futility of a faith in a Lord who could not conquer the grave. Listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 15. He said, "Now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable." Here's the problem with believing in an unresurrected Christ. You don't need an example. You need a Savior. You need someone who can deal with that sin that you have carried with you for a lifetime, that sin that has left you condemned. You need a Savior because a Savior can redeem you from death. You need a Savior who can step in to the worst of all of our situations and bring his redemptive power because he's the Lord. This morning you would be most pitiable if that were the end of the story. But it is not. You see, there's an end to the passage I read just a few moments ago. Paul goes through this wonderful soliloquy about what it means if Christ is not risen. And then he comes to the end of it and he makes that statement, "If Christ is not risen, we are of all men most pitiable." But this morning we celebrate the fact that that is not the end of the passage. What the Bible proclaims is this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable. But now Christ is risen from the dead. And on that first Easter, the angels revealed everything we need to know. They said, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen." And I'm come this morning. You've come this morning not to hear about the death of Jesus Christ. If you have, you've come to the wrong place. If you've come here because you want to remember someone whose life made a difference once upon a time, but no more, you need to be somewhere else. But if you believe that Christ carried our sins to the cross and was crucified on our behalf and brought redemption for our sins and purchased everything we needed for eternal life on the cross, then you are in the right place, because this is the place where we declare on the third day he rose from the grave. And on that first Easter Sunday, death lost all of its stings and the door to eternal life was open to all who trust in Christ as Savior. And so today we declare along with Paul, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Today we do not remember a crucified Christ. Today we do not remember a tomb in which he was laid. Today we remember Christ, the victor, who overcame death and granted us everlasting life. And this morning I declare to you that victory can be yours through faith in Jesus Christ. What is the testimony that we share together this morning? Well, it's the testimony that Jesus himself gave to his disciples as they were together in the upper room on that last night before he gave his life away. You remember what he said to them? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." And today it is my privilege to stand before you and simply declare that what Jesus said to his disciples so long ago, he says to you as well. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me." But if you come to the Father by Christ, who lived and died and rose again, then you come to receive the everlasting life that only Jesus can bring. So why are you here today? I hope that the answer to that is, I am here today because I want to celebrate the one who gave his life for me. But if you're here today and you're thinking to yourself, you know, that's really not why I came. I came to be here with somebody else. I came because I felt like I ought to be in church. I came, but I don't really have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. I want your answer to be this. But I want to join the one who is the victor over death, hell, and the grave. Today I want to trust Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, so that I can know Him and live eternally with Him. And if you're here today and you're not a believer, that's the message you need. Whether you came for that reason or not, that's the message you need. That Jesus Christ gave His life for you so that your sins could be redeemed. And He rose from the dead so you could experience everlasting life. And He offers it to you if you'll trust Him today. In just a moment, we're going to sing a hymn of invitation. And it's an opportunity for you, if you're here and you're not a believer, but you know in your heart of hearts that's what you need. You may not have come for that reason, but you've realized that's why He brought you here. He brought you so you could trust Him. The minute when we stand and sing, if you'll come here to the front, just walk these aisles. I'll be here to meet you. And I would love to introduce you to the risen Savior who loved you enough to die for you and redeems you by coming up from the dead. Maybe you're here today and you're recognizing, or I need to be a part of a church family that believes exactly that, that believes that what the Bible says about the Lord is true. And believes that Jesus really did die, but He really did rise again. Maybe you need to bring a membership here to this church. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. On this Easter Sunday, it is my privilege to invite you to come to the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Will you come? Let's stand together. Let's sing. Wonderful day today as we have celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so glad you were here. I'm glad to see families together. I hope that you have a wonderful afternoon. Remember, we won't be doing an evening service so that you can have extra time with families today. It's been a great day in God's house, and we are so grateful that among the blessings of the day is that we had an opportunity to worship with God's greatest gift to Alabama Baptist, Dr. Charles Carter. And I'm going to ask Dr. Carter, if he will, to pronounce our closing prayer. And then after that, one last song of celebration.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. We can call you the risen Lord. That you really did not stay in the tomb. That you really rose from the dead. And that today we serve a risen Lord. Thank you, Father, for First Baptist Birmingham. Thank you for all they've meant to our city. Thank you for Jim Cooley and his family. Pray your blessings upon all they do for you here on Lakeshore Drive. We love you with all of our hearts, and we give you on this Easter Sunday morning gratitude that you really are alive. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.